In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When Moses dedicated the tabernacle, the glory of the Lord covered it in a fiery cloud. When Solomon dedicated the temple, the cloud filled the whole temple so that the priests were unable to work, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The tabernacle and then later on the temple were holy because the Holy One of Israel dwelt there. And so these money changers who were selling things inside the temple were not just simply defiling a building. They were defiling the Holy One who dwelt there. A building is only bricks and glass, easily replaced if destroyed. But the Lord is the maker of heaven and earth, the God of the universe. And so the Lord once again came back to his temple to make it holy. Only this time he did not come in a fiery cloud, but in flesh and blood. He fashioned a whip and drove out those who were selling. The incarnate God who never raised his hand against any of his oppressors. The incarnate God who never rebuked or attacked those who persecuted him, but willingly suffered at their hands. He raised his divine arm to drive out those who defiled his temple, so that it might once again be his holy dwelling place. Consumed with sorrow, he wept over Jerusalem. They did not recognize the Lord who came to them. Consumed with zeal for his temple, he drove out those money changers, for his house is to be a house of prayer. To pray is to talk to God. And so in order for you to pray, you must first know who God is. To talk to God, God must first talk to you and reveal himself. And he does that through his word. He does it only through his word. And so it would have done little good if Christ would have simply driven out those who were selling and then had gone away. The condition of that house would have been worse than the first. And so he stayed. He stayed in the temple teaching the word of God, revealing who that Lord truly was. And those that believed his word were made holy and received peace, for Christ came to give them peace. Those that did not believe his word were not made holy, but remained defiled, and did not receive the peace Christ came to bring. And so they would be the ones to fashion a whip and scourge his back. They would drive the holy Lord out of his temple to a mountain called Calvary, and they would crucify their God. They did not just defile a building, but they defiled the maker of heaven and earth as they pinned him to a tree. And yet he willingly went. This is how peace is won. This is why the word of God can save. It's because of that death. He could have prevented it. He could have had them all fall over as he did in Gethsemane, but he didn't. He loved his temple too much. Zeal consumed him. And you are that temple. A temple is not simply bricks and stones, but you are the temple of the living God. A whip could not drive out your sin, and so he allowed his hands to be pierced so that sin might be driven out from you forever. Overturning tables would have done little good to make you holy. So he overturned your sinful flesh, drowning it in the waters of holy baptism, so that way you can be holy in his sight. The same God who dwelt in the tabernacle in that fiery cloud now dwells in you with that same exalted glory. The same God who filled the temple so that the priests were unable to perform their service now dwells in you, fills you, and works through you to every good and perfect work. The same fleshy God who drove out those money changers unites his flesh to your flesh and his blood to your blood to drive out the impurities of sin and to keep you holy forever. The earthly temple was a shadow. Your body is the reality. A temple is only bricks and stone, easily replaced. But you share in his flesh and blood. He has been made like you in every way, so that you might also share in his divine nature. You are holy because the Holy One dwells in you and continues to keep you holy. So how does he get there? Through his word. By the word of Christ, he comes to you. By the word of Christ, he makes and keeps you holy. By his word, he sets up your heart to be his dwelling place. And so every day during that Holy Week, Christ taught in the temple to keep and to make it holy. Just as every day he comes to you through his word to keep and make you holy. Recognize him as he comes to you. Do not ignore his gracious presence. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Read it. Learn it. Take it to heart. Memorize it, for it alone is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. Christ comes to you in no other way than through the word. For even the sacraments are useless apart from the word of God. Recognize the time of God's coming, that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God comes to make and to keep you holy. Today is the day he showers you with his grace and every blessing. So where Christ is, no evil can be found, no sin can remain, for he will keep you holy. Since you have been united to this God, the maker of heaven and earth, what greater blessings could be bestowed upon you? It is a glorious holy union between God and you, a union which you or I do not deserve, yet a union which is there by grace. So what can separate you from this living holy God? Can trouble or hardship or suffering or heartbreak? Who can drive out the Almighty Lord from your heart? Can pain or weakness or frailty or even death? Certainly not. For Christ has overcome all those things for you, so that you might overcome them all through him. The only way that God is driven out of your heart is through your willful, persistent sin, when you refuse to repent. And so if you do not want God to come into your heart through word and through sacrament, then he will not come to you, for he comes only in word and sacrament. If you think you are fine as you are, and only need the occasional freshening up, then he will not come to you except through that word and sacrament. He desires to come to you not just once in a while, but every day, so that you might be his holy temple now and forever. But if you reject him, he will weep over you even as he wept over Jerusalem, for the impending destruction is far worse than any war on earth could possibly ever be. So do not grieve the Lord by driving out the Holy Spirit and by ignoring his word. He is gracious. Even when he picks up a whip in his hand to scourge you, he does it out of love to drive out sin from you and to redirect your mind toward heaven, so that you might once again be filled with his holiness. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you daily as you teach and admonish one another. Let us not be so arrogant as to think that no one else can judge us. Now certainly they cannot judge our hearts, but they can judge our actions. St. Paul says, admonish one another. So why do we get angry when others correct us? Well, it's because we're sinners. So repent and receive godly admonition in humility, for there are few greater earthly blessings than to have godly friends who will rebuke us in love. Repent and rejoice that God is greater than any sin. His blood purifies you as it once again rushes down your throat to drive out all sin and restore his image in you. Let us not defile the temple of God by willful, persistent sin, or by any sin. You would never think of using this sanctuary as a brothel, or spray painting bad words or anything over these windows. And yet, what is this place but bricks and glass, easily replaced? As horrified and sad as we would be if that were to happen, even more upset and sad are we when others or we ourselves fall into any sin. For we are the temples of the holy and living God. And we do not simply defile a building or our bodies, but we defile the one who lives within us. And so we are not free to do whatever we want. Our body is not ours. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. He has made you holy and dwells in you so that you may live lives to his glory. You are holy. You are holy right here and right now, even though you do not see it with your eyes. And so your lips are holy lips. They are the lips of God, not yours. So do not defile them by speaking impure words. Your eyes are the eyes of God. So do not defile them by lusting after things or people. Your tongue is the tongue of God. Use it for holiness, to build up and encourage, not to tear down. Your hands, your holy hands, are the hands of God. Do not defile them by taking what is not yours. Your heart is the heart of God. Do not defile it by coveting things that are not yours. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What do believers have in common with unbelievers? Asks St. Paul. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For you are the temple of God. He lives in you and is with you always to the very end of the ages. Never will he leave you or forsake you, since we have such great promises of God. Let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and soul. And today Christ comes to us to do just that. So recognize how he comes to you. Recognize him in his word. Recognize him in his supper. He comes to make you holy. He comes to keep you holy. He comes to dwell in you now and forever. And because the Holy One of Israel, your God and your Savior, because he dwells in you, you have peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.